The Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas ends today. It's a place for companies to show off their latest high-tech developments. A lot of those aren't on the market yet, might not be for some years to come. Walking around the show is like a step into the future with robots, wearable technology, smart everything. And this year, self-driving cars. And these cars are stealing the show, I guess, with Mercedes-Benz in particular, featuring a car in which passengers face each other while the car itself manages the road. Here with us to talk about this new technology is David Underkoffler, auto writer for the LA Times. David, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, when I think of big new high-tech car stuff, I usually think, you know, the Detroit Auto Show and those other big ones. Do automakers usually make such a big splash at this consumer electronics show?
Well, it's been growing over the past number of years, and I think this is a good place for them to really sort of focus everything, all their efforts on technology. You know, maybe without the distraction of other automakers or other products, you know, at the Detroit Auto Show, maybe it's just sort of your mainstream vehicles that you can buy in the next year or so. CES is really turning into a sort of a dream world of, okay, here's what's going to be coming in the farther future, maybe in the 10 or 15-year range.
So we've got prototypes, we've got some self-driving cars being tested. How do these things work?
Well, they're pretty complicated. You know, they're using a number of different systems. I would say there are, you know, 360-degree radar systems. There are stereoscopic cameras, so, you know, cameras that are looking in front of the car and behind the car. Some automakers are using laser systems to sort of create a real-time 3D map of what's going on around the car, and then the computers are reacting to that in real time. Other cars are using infrared sensors. So it's really, you know, it's sort of a combination of a number of different sensors because you want to sort of see what's going on, you know, in a couple different layers around the car. So what's going on right in front of it, and then what's going on maybe 100 yards in front of it, and then maybe a quarter mile in front of it, so the car can prepare and react to all of those different situations.
A gut reaction is, I think, from your average driver, is this safe?
It will be. I mean, keep in mind, a vast majority of car accidents, and especially traffic fatalities, are all due to human error. And when you take that human error out of the equation, all of the experts and analysts you speak to say this is going to have really, you know, encouraging, you know, positive implications for safety. You know, traffic fatalities are expected to fall, you know, sort of as these technologies become, you know, more common on the road.
Now, you wrote about, and we mentioned the Mercedes-Benz car. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so this was kind of cool. Basically, Mercedes said, let's reinvent the car. Let's imagine all of the regulatory hurdles and all the policy hurdles that are sort of all the automakers are facing right now. Let's imagine those were not there anymore, and we're building a car from the ground up in say, 2030. What will a Mercedes look like at that time? And so this is a car where, you know, there is a steering wheel, but it's really not, you know, the primary function of that car. Like, as you mentioned, the four occupants sit facing one another. It's a sort of lounge space. There's these, you know, touch screens throughout the car that you can use for, you know, entertainment and movies and the internet. And they're positioning it really sort of as this is going to be what luxury is once you don't no longer need to drive. Luxury will be time spent. They call it a mobile living space, and it's really sort of how automobiles, especially luxury automobiles, will really evolve over the next 15, 20 years.
I understand Audi has actually had some of these cars. They've gotten permits to have them on real live roads. What have they done? How has that worked out?
Yeah, currently only four states allow testing of autonomous vehicles on the roads, and Nevada and California are two of those. So Audi thought, well, this is a good chance to sort of, A, get some testing done, and sure, why not? Let's get a little PR at the same time. So they drove a car. They had some journalists get licensed to drive these cars or sort of sit in them as they're being driven, and drove them from Silicon Valley to Nevada. And there's this long sort of caravan of support vehicles, and it was very sort of carefully orchestrated, but it was these cars were on the freeways were driving autonomously. The laws right now require a licensed, capable driver to be sitting in the driver's seat, ready to go in case anything goes wrong, and sort of assume control of the car. And also, they had an Audi technician sitting in the passenger seat. But this was, you know, sort of a first step. Audi was the first automaker in the state of California to get a permit to do that. So I think they thought saw a chance to capitalize on that.
Now, you mentioned the Mercedes was thinking along the lines of, this is the car maybe of 2030. Audi has these cars being tested on the road now. Is there a timeline in mind where we might actually see a consumer buying one of these things and getting to work in one?
Well, yes and no. I mean, a lot of luxury cars really sort of have the fundamentals of this technology in them already. I mean, you can get a car, you know, a luxury car today that will have radar-based cruise control, so it stays a set distance behind the car in front of you. It'll keep you in your lane. It will apply the brakes automatically if it knows you're about to hit something and you have not hit the brakes yourself. So really, we're just sort of going to build on those. You know, brands like Mercedes, Audi, Infiniti, which is owned by Nissan, are sort of pointing, and Cadillac too, are pointing to, you know, maybe 2020 is when you'd start seeing really it'll be an expensive option on their highest end car. It won't be until maybe 2025, 2030 before you're seeing this as more of a mainstream, you know, option. You know, and then maybe beyond that, it'll you'll see fully autonomous cars, you know, sort of be much more common. So it's in the near term, we're going to see it on a very limited basis, but it is inevitable. I mean, this is not a question of if, it's a question of when.
Well, like a lot of things in automotive history, I guess the laws, state, federal, local even, will have to catch up with this technology.
They do, and that's sort of one of the like I said, that's one of the bigger hurdles. The laws are really sort of antiquated, not only in terms of allowing these vehicles to be tested on public roads, because automakers, you know, they're right now they're sort of forced to create these fake cities on private grounds to test autonomous vehicles. But it's also a matter of data security. You know, these cars gather so much data on board, and how do you, the automakers are really sort of behind the eight ball in determining how do you make that data safe? How do you make it, you know, how do you prevent someone from hacking into these cars, either to steal the data or to take control of the cars? You know, the experts I spoke to said, you know, they're optimistic that, you know, both data security and the policy will sort of catch up. But right now, it really, you know, like I said, the laws really do have a lot of sort of ground to make up.
Now, self-driving cars have been the big automotive story at the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas. I guess there's been some news about hydrogen fuel cell technology. I don't know if that's going on at the show, but some companies starting to share their patents with their rival companies. Where are we on hydrogen cell powered cars?
You know, that's another thing that actually I think is going to probably happen fairly quickly, or maybe quicker than most people might expect. You know, automakers like them because they don't have that sort of built-in range anxiety that I think some people may have about a purely electric car. And whether that's rational or not, it is sort of been known to prevent people from buying an electric car. So hydrogen fuel, you have just water vapor is the only emission out of these vehicles. So that's very attractive from an automaker who, by federal standards, they need to keep their cars very efficient in terms of emission and miles per gallon. So Toyota is one of the leading automakers. They spent 20 years developing this technology. And at CES, they announced that they were going to open up their patents to competitors. You know, one guy I spoke to, one expert was saying, you know, it's not an issue of patents. It's not like they're giving away the farm here. Really what Toyota wants to do, you know, they're going to be the first to bring one of these cars to market this year. It's already on sale in Japan. Will go on sale in the U.S. in October. It is in Toyota's best interest to really get this industry off the ground and make sure that you have infrastructure, so you have fueling stations and things like that, and that they're not the only one making this car, because, you know, it's sort of going to limit the audience for it. So I think this is just sort of them saying, hey, we're all in. We would like, you know, anyone else who wants to join us in this. This is sort of mutually beneficial if we can sort of advance this technology and get it on the road pretty quick.
David, is this an exciting time to be an automotive journalist?
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of really cool tech coming out and a lot of cool developments, and you know, cars are getting, you know, faster and safer at the same time and more efficient. And I think, you know, I would definitely, you know, say stay tuned to the Detroit show, because from what we've heard, there's going to be a lot of cool stuff coming out of that. So, yeah, it's never dull. There's always new stuff around the corner.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rob.
We've been speaking with David Underkoffler, auto writer for the LA Times. The Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas ends today.